Welcome to part one of this five-part series of Study Aid videos on modern Chinese history. I'm Dr. Ben Habib from La Trobe University in Albury-Wodonga, and this presentation is about the Opium Wars and the decline of the Qing Dynasty, spanning key events in the period between 1836 and 1894. I'm going to discuss specifically five key points in covering this period. Firstly, China as the Middle Kingdom and its dominance in world politics up to the late 18th century. I'm going to look at the China-Britain trade imbalance, which led to the First Opium War. Then I'll look at the Second Opium War, and finally the Taiping Rebellion. In the slide here you'll see Confuza, or Confucius as we know him in the West, the famous Chinese philosopher who lived during the 5th century BC. The fact that we know anything about him at all here in Australia tells us a great deal about Chinese history and how the Chinese have traditionally viewed their place in the world. We know about Confucius because the works attributed to him are part of the heritage of 4,000 years of continuous Chinese civilization and over 2,000 years of near-continuous dynastic succession. Here you can see Tiantan, the Temple of Heaven in Beijing. And this is emblematic of something. China is known as Zhongguo, the Middle Kingdom, deriving from this long history of civilization and a self-awareness of China as the center of the world. That's where the term Middle Kingdom comes from. So why then would the Chinese believe that their civilization occupied such a privileged position? Well, China was generally the strongest power in the region and collected tribute from surrounding nations, who paid homage to the superior authority of the reigning Chinese emperor. And until the Industrial Revolution in the late 18th and early 19th centuries in Europe, China was the most technologically advanced country in the world. This air of superiority is embodied in the Great Wall of China, a picture of which you see here, the physical barrier between the civilized Chinese and the uncivilized barbarians to the north. During the period we're concerned with in the 19th century, China had been ruled by the Manchu Qing dynasty, who had been in power since 1644. The Qing were the second foreign dynasty to rule China after the Mongol Yuan dynasty in the 13th and 14th centuries. The Manchu Qing greatly expanded Chinese territory in the 17th and 18th centuries before coming under pressure from Western imperialism, and it's that pressure that we're going to look at in more detail. China's dominant position began to be undermined in the late 18th century. From 1756, China's Qing government instituted a limited trade concession with the British East India Company, which was known as the Canton System, because it was based exclusively in the port city of Canton, which is now at modern-day Guangzhou. Chinese imports, especially tea, were extremely popular in Europe, but the Chinese would only accept silver as payment. To overturn this trade imbalance, the British began importing opium grown in India to pay for Chinese tea and other luxuries, leading to a growing drug problem of opium smoking in Chinese society. In fact, by the late 19th century, it's estimated that up to a third of all Chinese citizens used opium, of which a large proportion were addicts. For obvious reasons, then, the Qing government wanted to control the importation of opium into China and confiscated several opium shipments from British traders. Objecting to the treatment of its merchants, the British used their unrivaled naval power to smash China's coastal defences over a series of battles spanning 1839 to 1842. Eventually, the British took control of the strategically important mouths of the Pearl and Yangtze rivers, which were vitally important highways of domestic commerce in China. Overpowered and outgunned, the Qing were forced to sign the Treaty of Nanking on the 29th of August 1842, the signing of which is pictured here. This treaty was the first of many unequal treaties that weakened the Qing dynasty and prized open China to foreign intervention over the course of the 19th century. The treaty compelled China to abandon its trade restrictions and open five more port cities to British traders. The Chinese also ceded Hong Kong Island to the British and were obliged to pay 21 million silver dollars in reparations to the British Crown. And silver dollars in the 19th century are worth far more than $21 million are today. However, the peace did not last all that long. Having lost faith in losing the First Opium War, the Qing government were reluctant to live up to the terms of the Nanking Treaty and continually interfered with the operations of the British merchants at the treaty ports. An incident involving a British ship called the Arrow reignited hostilities between the British and the Chinese in what's now known as the Second Opium War, which lasted from 1856 to 1860. This time, however, other Western powers intervened with the British. The French, American, and Russian governments sent in forces of their own, all of them keen to establish their own trading posts along the Chinese coast. By September 1860, Anglo-French forces had reached Beijing and destroyed the Emperor's Summer Palace, whose reconstructed buildings are pictured here. Again, the Qing Emperor was forced to capitulate and agree to the demoralising terms set by the British and their allies. The legacy of this settlement at the conclusion of the Second Opium War was the further weakening of the Qing and the opening of China to be carved up amongst the Western powers. The Treaty of Tianjin, negotiated in 1858 and ratified at the conclusion of the war in 1860, prized open 11 more ports to foreign trade. It also allowed Western governments to send diplomats to Beijing and granted full freedom of movement to foreign citizens throughout China, which previously they had not enjoyed. This prizing open of China to foreign commerce was known as the Open Door Policy. Not only traders, but also Christian missionaries took advantage of this last provision, which played out in a strange way in southern China. From 1850 to 1864, growing dissatisfaction stemming from the Opium Wars and the corruption of the crumbling Qing government led to open revolt in southern China, a revolt known as the Taiping Rebellion. The rebellion was led by a charismatic man called Hong Xiuquan, who preached an unusual variation of Christianity. For a time, Hong commanded an army of nearly 30 million people and controlled large parts of southern China, in an area he called the Taiping Heavenly Kingdom. Now, can you imagine controlling an army of 30 million people? The size is mind-boggling. The rebels were eventually defeated by the Qing army with help from the British and the French. The numbers here are quite staggering. Over 25 million people died during the Taiping Rebellion. While numerous others fled southern China for a chance at a new life, both here in Australia and in California, both of which were experiencing gold rushes. So to summarise, I'd like to point out three key themes from this period. The first is the growing decline of the Qing dynasty, and this occurred due to corruption, civil violence, and the declining authority of the Qing Emperor, as well as China's technological inferiority to the Western powers. It started out as a product of the opening trade and then led to the gradual opening of treaty ports along the coast and eventually the carving up of coastal China between the Western imperial powers. Now, as a result of Western imperialism, China was drawn into the imperial global economy as a series of colonies rather than as the Middle Kingdom as the dominant power that it had been. And because of this, China was vulnerable to an aggressive expansionist power. And we'll see how that plays out in the next video.